This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bible today. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at just Joshua chapter 1 alone, and we're going to talk about some things that are just as relevant today as they were when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. And you know, I'll just go ahead and say it. God has been preparing you for 12, 13, 14 years, any more. You know, it's almost like they go to school from birth, you know. So how many ever years, more than 12, that you've been attending school, he's been preparing you for something that it's a path that's been laid out for you, just like it was for Joshua, just like it was for him. And so keep that in mind as we look at this. It says, after the death of Moses in Joshua 1 and 1, the servant of the Lord, and you notice he's still second fiddle, isn't he, so to speak. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He's still referred to as Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now, therefore go and arise to the Jordan, you and all this people, for to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And as I mentioned, God has been preparing you. In fact, as you think back in the last few years, whether you're going from college or from high school, as you think back on your life, every test, every trial, whether it was from an academic standpoint or whether it was a life lesson, every struggle and every test and trial that you've had, God has been there with you and has been preparing you for something great in your life. And when I say great, it doesn't mean that you'll be rich or famous. It just means that you'll make a difference where you are. I think we overestimate people that just go along making a difference wherever they are. We pulled up this morning and Janice said, look how pretty the flower bed is. And I said, that's because we have a leader that Gina leads. You tell her, if you give her an assignment, she just leads. And maybe not many of you will know all the hours, and or none of us may know that you put in, and she makes Bob work and help her. That's her Joshua right there. Takes brains and bronze, and we got both in the garden business. And so here they are but you just drive up, and some of you may take for granted the garden and how beautiful it looks and how kept it looks, but you know, I don't. And I appreciate in you guys that come and intercede with prayer and lead praise. Wasn't that great praise this morning? Good job, praise leaders and praisers. You know, that stuff, people that prepare and do their job, that's going to be the heroes when we get to heaven. And Joshua had prepared. He was ready. And here's something that you want to think about. You know, he's hanging out with a whole lot of doubters that have to die off before he can really see God's fulfillment. And I'm telling you, that's still alive today in America. And in fact, this story, when I was preparing this, I thought about that. I thought, this story and these people that came out of bondage like America did from the heavy taxation and all the things we fought for and freedom of religion and all the things we fought for, it reminds me sometimes Americans, they remind me of the children of Israel and how they doubt so much. You know, gas just went up. How many noticed gas went up? And some of you stress about it. And I know I'm not helping you, reminding you in church. But I'm just, the fact is, there's nothing you can do about gas prices. And so why do you stress over it? Why don't you just stop? And then every time a gas goes up, just give God glory that there's money in your pocket to put gas in your car. And, you know, because we could stress about things like these individuals did. They stressed and they stressed until they lost the blessing of God. And so for you that are continuing on and Jalinda getting your degree and next degree and having vision, you know, praise God for you. You know, you see the bigger picture and you've got a path that you feel like God has laid out for you. And, And that's the heroes of the earth. And it doesn't matter if you're going to be a stay-home mom or what it is. Whatever it is God has prepared for you, He prepared this for these people. And now, after 40 years and the doubters die off, they're finally going to be able to enjoy that. And so here's the question. When you go through things in life, what did you learn? What did you learn? Here's the sad fact. There's many people that they don't learn anything. They just fumble along and they don't learn how to take care of finances. And so they're always a burden to people. It's sad. You know, my brother-in-law has a bunch of rental properties in Ada. And he was showing me one the other day. And he knocks on the door of his house and says, "Is there anyone in there?" And we walk in and it's not rented. He don't have it rented yet. And he's getting ready to restore it. But he knocked on the door because he said vagrants come by and they make a play. And then sure enough, with that back room, there was a place where they had been bedded down and had a ball bat. They had their security alarm in a house that they don't own because they never figured out how, you know, God give you resources, now manage them. But some people never do. Some people never manage relationships. They never learn from their mistakes. And so they go through life with crises after crises. We all know them. We have them here. I could call you by name, but I won't. Thank you, Jesus. But you don't learn how to manage the relationships you got, so you go through with stress and crises on a continual basis because you don't know how to manage or won't manage relationships. I'm amazed at the people that won't manage their own health. And it's a burden to society because now we can't pay for all the sickness and disease and suffering because people just won't learn from their mistakes and say, you know what, I need to be healthier and I need to take care of the body. It's a commandment from God, but I'm amazed at the people that won't take care of their temple, their body. And it's a burden on every American. There's a commercial out right now that says you're going to pay $500, $600, $700, whatever it is, a month or a year, whatever it is. And this lady says, "Well, I'm not paying it. I don't smoke." And she said, "I don't matter if you smoke or not. It's a leading cause of cancer. And everybody has to pay in America. And you already did. And you'll pay the same or more next year." And he hung up on her. I'm just saying, some people never learn to take care of the temple. And so the question I want you to think about today, over the past several years from where it got you to this point, all the trials and tests, what did you learn and what could you do different this time? Joshua had to learn that, you know what, sometimes when there's enough doubters in the crowd, you go to spy out a land and Moses says, see if it's a good land or a bad land, see if it's what God promised. And they came back with 10 doubters and Joshua and Caleb said, "We are well able, let's possess the land." 10 doubters said, "They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster than us." And by the way, that's what 80% of Americans will tell you now. If you're going to go get a degree, if you're going to go into business for yourself, everybody, all the doubters are going to tell you all the things and reasons why you can't make it. And all the risk, they're still there. It's an old 80-20 principle that's still alive today. 20% of the people in the church support, give most of the support to operate the church, and 80% just kind of give at will. It's just a stat. It's always been that way. It looks like it always will. But you that give tithes and offerings and you're the pillar and the financial post of the church of God, someday you'll reap your just reward. And today you reap it. And all the 80% get to sit here and enjoy every church around the world because of the 20%. Be the 20%. Be the 20%. Joshua was the 20%, and 40 years later, because of the doubters, they convinced all the children of Israel that they're bigger, stronger, faster, and we cannot take it, the land. 40 years later, he's getting to fulfill his dream. And it may take a while because of doubters, but don't listen to the doubters. You know, I thought in this economy today, all you hear on the news is how bad it is and how stressful it is. And all the while, there's people out there making really good money. Be one of them. Just decide that your economy is different than the economy that don't, the Dow Jones or the NASDAQ or, you know, just decide your economy comes from God. And you're going to plant and sow in the direction God gives you. And you're going to amount to something for the glory of God. Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." Every place. I already gave this to you 40 years ago when you guys came out of Egypt. I already gave it to you. It's been deeded over to you. But doubt has kept you from receiving your blessings. And I'm telling you, doubt will still keep you from receiving your blessings today. It just will. But God said, I've already given it to you, but you got to go possess it. God's given it to you all today, but you have to go possess it. There's things to figure out. I knew when we left here, I thought, I'm gonna flip some houses. I'm going to do some coaching and training. Last week, my brother-in-law called and he said, I'm going to give you a day's pay, which is a pretty good amount of money. And he said, I'm going to give you a day's pay to be my consultant. And I said, okay, that's what I do. He's got an invention and he likes it, and he came to Oklahoma City and it was going to cost him $10,000 to initiate this, and my sister was freaking out, and she called me and she said, I think we need a second opinion, and you ask good questions, would you go? And I thought, I'm a life coach, I ask good questions, I will go for pay. We went up there and we sat in the guy's office and I said, I hate that you have to say this again, but they have doubts, and my brother-in-law was having big doubts because he went home to somebody with big doubts. And how many knows if you live with somebody with big doubts, you're not careful, you're going to have big doubts. And so both of them were stressing before she was through with him. But I learned something. Somebody's stress, it can be your gain. John Maxwell says people will pay to have their problems fixed. So be a problem fixer. When people say, can you do it? If you can, and it's your expertise and your field, say, yes, I can. You may have to study. I went on the internet. I looked this company up. I called Andrew. I called Steve. I know they're familiar with computers. And I earned my money. I knew about them, and I asked him questions about his company. In fact, I found him in one question. He was talking about our people and the patent and stuff. And I said, excuse me. I said, in some of your brochures and your information, it says you all do not patent, that's a separate entity. Is that correct or not? And he said, did I say that? I said, yes, you did. Well, I'm so glad you caught me. And you could tell he had a routine and he was just spilling it out and he had not even caught that. And so he says, I'll make a note of that because we are separate and that's really important that I say it that way. And then there's a couple other questions I had that was on in his little background there. And you can see my brother-in-law sitting over thinking, yes, that's a good question, yes. And sweat was getting less and less. Here's something else I found out about the man my brother-in-law didn't know. He's a Christian. He's a teacher, Bible teacher out at Crossings Community Church, which is an awesome church. I said, well, tell me about that. And I know his values line up with Christian values. That matters to me. It matters to me. Unless it's my surgeon and he's the best in the world and he's an atheist, I will use him. I'll still pray for him, but I will use him. So he says, you know, you follow God's plan. Let me tell you something. If I hadn't followed God's plan and I'd listened to most people, we wouldn't be right here today. That's a fact. Three years into our ministry, I'm a young 30-year-old kid, and my brother-in-law or a cousin of ours called us on Janice's side and said, I have a property. He knew we were growing and filling our second church up out there, the second location. I knew that we would be in three locations. The first two we'd rent and the third we'd buy. I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it. I was following God's path. This was my promised land right here. And so I said, I began to say, we need to look for property. And so he brought me out here. And I remember right about where Danita is, I fell on my knees and said, I want it. I thought, this is it. I felt it. I knew it in the core of my being that this was the path God was laying out for me. And so I brought my elders over and they prayed. And they said, man, this is pretty big, Pastor. I don't know. Now watch. We didn't have the finances to get it. We didn't have the people that believed we could get it, and we got it. I went on my knees. I hit my knees. God said, you can do it. In 2 years, you'll pay interest pretty much, just like renting. At the end of 2 years, you'll refinance, and you'll start making principal payments. And that's almost what we did to the date, for the week apart, because we'd come in on Easter. 2 years later on Easter, right in that span of time, that's when we refinanced and started paying it. How did you know that? I don't know. I was just following God's path. I'll never forget our secretary treasurer, Mark, at the time. She came in and she says to me, I just want you to know I do keep the books and this will not fly. We cannot do this. I can show you the finances. I said, I don't need to see the finances. Thank you. I remember telling her, I said, and she's a sharp lady, you know, she has degrees and she's very good. In fact, she's a CFO of a company now. But she says to me, she says, you know what? Said, we just won't fly. And I said, here's what, if I take my salary and I give it all back to the church, can we make the payment then? Then will it fly? And she said, well, if you put everything of yours in and what we make, yeah, it would, but I don't want you to have to do that. And I said, I don't want to do that. I said, but I'm so sure this is God, I won't have to do that. But if it is, I just want you all to know, I'll put my salary in. I'll go work somewhere else. We didn't have a down payment enough that it required for a commercial loan. We didn't even have the realtor's real estate fees, the 6%. We didn't even have that. He had to let us pay him out. We took the congregation and we brought them over after the elders had looked at it and prayed. And we brought them over and they prayed. And when we left, this is what I did. One Sunday I got up and I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, everybody's been praying. I went around to the ladies that their husbands didn't go to church. I said, they're all excited. I want you to be in, you know, and just took care of all the little loose ends. And then I said, I want you to pray and write on the tithing envelope what you will give in like 2 weeks. Don't give any money, just write down what you will give. And if it comes in, we have enough what they ask over here on this real estate deal, we're going forward. If it doesn't come in, then God didn't provide and we'll all stay right here and be happy. More than enough came in that morning. Everybody's excitement level went up and everybody thought, woo! And everybody was giving God praise and but it took me standing because hearing God as a leader and whatever you lead, God's going to talk to you and you're going to be accountable and you can let the doubters talk you out of it or you can go forward. You know what God told Moses one time when they were coming out? He said, if you want me to, I'll just wipe all these out and I'll make you a new crew. I wish so many times he'd have let God done that and seen what would have happened. You know why? Because every time we're standing in the doubting crowd, we could have went back to Genesis and we could have said, or Exodus, and we could have said, be careful with your doubt. God could wipe you out. Little leverage. We could have had a little leverage, couldn't we? But he didn't. You know, Moses interceded and then he had to stay in the wilderness with the doubters for 40 years. That's not where you belong. You don't belong in the wilderness with the doubters. Be the 20%. Be the percentage that says, you know what? I'm going to go forward in Jesus' name. Listen, I'll be 58 years old next month. If I make it. And I knew when this comes to an end, I'll have to make up a salary. One of my neighbors asked me the other day, are you retiring? I said, well, I'm not as old as I look. This is not about your age. I just thought you might be retiring. But I thought, I'm going to flip some houses. I'm going to do some coaching and consulting just like I did the other day. And now I've got two little houses that I purchased. Just ratty little houses. But they won't be when I get through with them. They'll look good when I get through with them. And I'm starting over at an older age. But I'm not afraid because I'm still in my zone. My calling, just like his is to lead people and bring order. If I hang around you long enough, I'll help you. I'll bring order and help to you. Most of you in your positions here at our church is because I've talked to you about your calling. I watch you and then I help you say, this is what I think you would fit at. What do you think? And most of you, not all of you, but most of you are there. Some of you just knew your calling and you fit. But that's my place, is to bring order. I call it sweet spot. To help people or houses or whatever it is that's out of order come into a sweet spot. That's what I do. And God has ordained you to do something specific to your calling and gifts. And if you'll just ask Him what it is or ask your family and people around you, you'll know what vein to stay in. You'll just know. It'll just come. And that's what I do. Whenever Jana asked about going to Ada and getting a job, I said, "Yeah, go ahead and apply." I knew this was coming, and I was going to be transitioning. And you know, in the natural, you think Ada, what can you do in Ada? She'll have a job. What are you going to do? You're so limited in Ada. You are if you don't have a God. (Laughs) You can go out in the desert and wander around 40 years and not starve to death if you have a God. It's plan B, but you can go and He'll take care of you. It's where 80% of them are today, is wandering in the desert, just making a scratching out a living. And you can if you want to, but you don't have to. How many ever read where Jesus says, I come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly? I took Him at His word. How about you? I put a little sign out in our yard. It's a larger home, and real estate agents would tell you, some of the larger homes, it takes a long time to sell them. It took 3 weeks to sell our house. 3 weeks with a sign in the yard. God sent a lawyer with lots of money who had a kid that wanted my house. Thank you, Jesus. He'll send people to you. He'll send people to you. So when the doubters are saying, you can't do it, you just look at them and say, I can do it because I have a God. He's with me. It says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'll give you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. It's coming to you. It's just coming to you. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Listen, graduates, God is with you and He will not leave you nor forsake you. Philip gave me a graphic illustration. I told him about my son this morning. We were talking about him and coming, and I said, we had a visit, and most of you know that he's way out from the faith right now. And he's a good family man, good dad and all that, but he's just, his faith is just, he has no faith right now. And Philip says, and he told me while he was here, he said, but I'm glad you raised me. You were a good dad, and I'm so thankful you were my dad. That really helped, because I began to wonder, what he thought and all. But here's what I want to give to you. Philip says to me, he says, there's an illustration that I have, and he says, the fire is here, and the guy said he kicked this log out of the fire that was on fire, and it didn't take it long till it went out over here by itself. He said, and that's where your son is right now. He's not in the fire anymore. I thought, wow. You know what he does? He helps people like me that have concerns, because he's always digging a nugget out of the Word. He's always big, and he'll help you if you'll use him. Just give him a call. He can help you. He'll give you something. He gives something almost every Sunday that's, I think, that's good stuff. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. I want to give that to you, graduates. Be strong and of good courage. And by the way, we think about strong as, somebody that's like the WWF or whatever it's called now or something. That's not a Rambo or listen, the word strong means to fasten upon, to seize or to conquer. And the word courage means to be alert. Fasten upon. You want a master's degree? Just fasten upon it. You want to be the world's best runner? Just run, force, run. Never stop running. Focus on it. Hone your skills. Laser in. And that's my next is, narrow your focus. Look at Joshua. He never lost focus. Can you imagine standing in a crowd of millions of people and a handful of you believe about the promised land? And for 40 years, he never lost focus on the promised land. 40 years. Now that's a leader with focus. So narrow your focus. Michael Jordan tried to play baseball. Remember, he couldn't even make it in AAA baseball, world's greatest basketball player. Other people have tried that. God's laid out something for you. Stay in that. Stay in that. Probably if you're a nurse, you probably have a calling for that. I don't think there's, some people get into nursing for money. I hate that when you get somebody that just gets into money, nursing for money. You can tell when they walk in, it's just, they stick you 3 or 4 times, they still don't get blood, and they're like, I remember yearly physical I was doing 1 year, and they brought in this little nurse, and she was. I said, who is this? Because, my physical uses the same lady every year. And she said, we're training her. I said, can you train her on someone else? And I said, come on, I'll give you one stick, okay? She's sweating and stuff, But I you know, if it's your calling, you'll get tired in it, but you'll never get tired of it. I'll help people and houses and whatever I'm around. I'll help it find its sweet spot until I die. And that's why people don't want to get in their sweet spot and just want to complain and have excuses. That's why they don't like hanging around me. Because after a while and hearing people whine and stuff, I'm just going to ask them what they're going to do about it. What's the first step you're going to do? You know, get up and do something. And find your sweet spot. And if it's nursing, you know, be the best nurse you can be. And just follow that vein. Whatever your vein is, follow that. Focus and hone it. And God will take you and your blessings will be bigger than you ever thought. It can be amazing. And that's what Joshua did. 40 years with the doubters, and he's still laser focused on getting the people into the promised land. He's still leading. In fact, when Jesus comes up, he draws his sword because he don't know who's trying to stand in his way. And then he found out it's the captain of the Lord's army, and he falls on his face. He's ready. He's ready for a battle. You get in his way. And he thought that's, you know, he was in his way. And it's kind of hilarious. But it's, you know, that's how focused he was. So narrow your focus and hone your skills and see what God will do for you. Only be strong, verse 7, and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law. Listen, follow the values of this book. Follow the values. One of the questions I asked my son when he was visiting, I said, son, I said, what is your governing values today? He said, I don't know what you mean. I said, well, everybody's run by their values. Is it still Christian values? And he really hated to say yes, but it was. I said, well, do you still not steal and kill and commit adultery? And do you still, you know, do all the things that you were taught, the values you were taught? And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, that's Christian values. And he said, well, whatever you want to call it. He's such a doofus sometimes. I love him, but he's such a doofus sometimes. Watch, he says, watch what he says. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. It was flowing through him, down into him. Now remember, Moses missed it, didn't he? He smote the rock twice and he missed the promised land. So it doesn't mean you can't mess up. Even if you're the leader, sometimes you're going to mess up. Here's something I learned along the way. That'll help you tremendously. When you mess up, be quick to apologize. Quick to apologize. It just, you know, be quick to apologize. Even if you think you're not at fault, say, I'm sorry that hurt you. You know, if you made somebody mad, but you didn't even know it, just say, I'm sorry that made you mad or hurt you. Just, you know, because they are, and it helps them, and it sets things back in course quickly. It says, do not turn from the left of it or the right, that you may prosper, wherever you go. That you may prosper wherever you go. You'll stay with the Word of God, you'll prosper, he says, wherever you go. God leads you into prosperity. And by the way, prosperity doesn't mean rich and famous. How many knows a lot of rich and famous people that just have pitiful lives and, you know, one divorce after the next or suicide or dope, you know. So rich and it's not talking about rich and famous. That's not what it's talking about at all. When it talk about be the best you can be a transforming individual. When don't you love it when the plumber comes and they really know how to plumb? Because if you get a plumber and they don't really know how to plumb, you could just be up to your knees and you know what. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know what? Learn to say what this says. When my son was here and we were visiting, he'd say something about Christianity, and I said, well, the Bible says, son. He said to me, for instance, he said, Bill Gates is an atheist. Did you know that? And I said, I don't know. I said, I know he gave half his fortune away and still giving it away and doing not. I said, and charity covers a multitude of sin. He said, you trying to tell me you can get into heaven some other way? I said, no, I'm trying to tell you charity covers a multitude of sin. Because that's what the Bible says. Say what the Bible says. Don't matter who you're talking to. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. Say what the Bible says. Live what the Bible says, and God will help you through. You may have to endure some things, but He'll help you through if you'll say what the Bible says. When Jana had her colon cancer, and somebody was telling her the other day, said, "You were the bravest person I've ever known or ever seen." And Jana said, "I didn't think I was brave at all. I just knew I didn't have control over it, and I trusted God." That's what courage looks like. It's just saying, "I can't do anything about it. I've got a God that knows, and He'll take care of me. And He gave me a husband that loves me, and he's kind of like Jesus with skin on it. He's here, and He'll help me, you know." That's why you want to pick a good man. You never know where you're going to land. Just a thought. Just a thought. Listen, the word prosper, listen, graduates, get this. The word prosper means to push forward. This is a success journey. You're not going to arrive at success. It's a success journey. You ought to keep learning, keep growing. Listen, I spend money on leadership tapes. I get them every month, and I listen to them 3 or 4 times before I put them up because I know I've missed something, and I always get something else. But I still do that all the time. I spend money on leadership books. I'm still learning about leadership. I listen to different radio stations that have leadership. You know, I'm going to hone my skills until I die. And if you'll do that, sometime or another, somebody will pay you for what you know. And they'll look at you and say, "How did you know that?" "Oh, I'm just good. I just knew it. It's a good thing you had me." But just put in the effort. Put in the effort. Oh, and by the way, when we was summed up the other day, and I was consulting for my brother-in-law, I said, "You wanted my advice. You're paying me to be here today, a good day's pay." I said, "I'll just tell you right now, if you believe in your product, this is the best company and the best shot you'll ever have. But you know what? 1 to 3%, and it's closer to 1% of their ideas that come through the office ever make it." I said, "But it's better than the slot machines." I said, "Do you believe?" He said, "I believe in this with all my heart. It's an accessory for a golf cart. That's what it is. Easy to get in and out with magnets." And he studied it, and so then I said, "I think it's the best shot you'll have as long as you understand." And another thing that was, he didn't know they had exclusive right to sell for 2 years, and I brought that out. I said, "Tell us what that means." He said, "That means that our company will sell everything." I said, "You have friends that you want to sell to. What are you going to do about that?" And he said, "Well, I'll just hold off for now, I guess. Is that what I have to do?" And I said, "Well, if you want this company." See, so I helped him with my skills and my asking ability to help him to clarify for his vision. Because that's what I do. What do you do? What do you want to do? Who are you going to help? Listen, why do you want to be a nurse? Why do you want to do what you do? Answer that question. And if you answer the question why, because that gratifies me to no end. When I can help somebody like him make decisions that's educated, that's right for them, and it fits, or bring order, I don't get on a high like that any other time. I smoked marijuana before, and it's not that kind of high. Long time ago. There's something in life that you will get high over. And if you find it, you will live to work, not just work to live. If you will find what God has called you to do, and something that it just lifts you up, it energizes you, it's life-giving to you, and you get to do it every day, such a difference. Because the 80% are going to a job just to make a living. And that's sad. And it doesn't matter, you know, you can work at a factory and know why you're there and be just as gratified and satisfied, or a company man and just doing your job. But know the why. He knew that this was God's plan. This was God, what He had ordained. He had given them the deed, and Joshua never forgot it, this belongs to us. It doesn't belong to them. And God created that for us, and He's given it to us if we'll just go take. But he knew the why, and the why took him on after 40 years of doubt. Know the why. God's called me to lead and to restore and bring people and things to the sweet spot. That's the why. That's why I do it, because I know that's what my part is, and that I can do that. God's given me the ability to do that, and it's a high for me. So find what's a high for you. Watch this, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. You hear what he told them? Prepare provisions for yourself. Next to last thing I'm going to give you. You can either prepare or repair. You might want to write that one down. You can either prepare or repair. We went in that meeting the other day. I was prepared as I could be. I'd called everybody, went online, done everything I knew to do, and checking and searching everything I knew. I was prepared. You know what the guy told me? He said, you asked really good questions. I said, well, thank you. I'm a life coach. And I said, and by the way, I want to tweak you on two things that you just presented. He said, go ahead. And I said, one's the thing where you said that we do. He said, yeah, I'm going to write that one down. I'm going to take that out of my pre. And I don't remember what the other one was, but it's just something. He said, that's a good thought. And I'm not being haughty. I just, God give me that part to do. And I'm trying to be faithful over that part. Do that when you're in your invocation. Be the best you can be. It may not be good as somebody else, but God didn't call you to be as good as somebody else. He called you to be the best you can be. Be prepared when you go in, or you'll have a lot of repairs to do. He said, you better prepare. We're getting ready to take off. We're getting ready to take off. And I want to close with this, because this is really, really important. If you're going to live a fulfilled life, you may accomplish everything in the world, but if you don't practice this, it's just not going to be the same. Verse 12. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, This is the tribes that they're going to camp on the other side of the Jordan. They're going to make their stake over here. Everybody else is going into the promised land, the Canaan and all, and they're going to take possession. This is the ones that could have sat in their little cushioned seats if it hadn't been for God and said, you got good luck, you all. I hope you conquer. That's not how God set life up. God set life up for you and I to be His hands extended. And you'll never be a success if you don't practice this last part. Remember the word of Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. The property we're standing on right now, this is where you'll rest, and God is giving you this land. We already have possession. You'll buy it, you'll live it, you'll buy 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 it, but you shall pass before your brethren tomorrow, all of your mighty men of valor, and help them. You're going to go fight for their land just like it was your own land. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as He gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord your servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered and said, we'll do it. Listen, there's people in this planet that God has ordained you to help. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I was telling you about, I met John the Baptist in my yard. And John the Baptist was stressed out and he wanted to know if I was a Christian. And I said, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. And he said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because John the Baptist had put in many, many sprinkler systems, but he had never run the business. And he was a young Christian wanting to branch out. And by the way, his doubting boss, which claims to be a Christian, really ridiculed him, called him a thief. You're still in my business. And I can't believe you're leaving me. And I said, John, I don't care what he says he is. In that particular instance, he is not acting Christ-like. He said, I just know God's leading me out to business, but I don't know the business end. So I've been helping him and tutoring him. I got him another job down the street. He just finished it this week. His whole attitude and countenance was different because he had problems with my system. I didn't have enough pressure in my system to run it. After he got everything hooked up, and we were in San Antonio over the weekend with our kids and grandkid that had graduated from military school, he came back and I called him Monday, and I said, one of the parts were gone that he had. I said, I just noticed the part is gone. He said, oh, I didn't want to disturb you during the weekend, but it's awful. There's not enough pressure. I said, just come on over. He came over to my house, and I said, listen, what did I teach you? Everything is a process. If I don't have enough pressure, we got to get pressure. I said, guess what? If I don't have enough pressure, in my water lines. Guess what that is? It's a problem. Guess what you get paid for? To fix people's problems. He's like, oh. He's stressing all weekend. I've got a water problem. It's not his fault. I don't have pressure. And he should have been saying, ching, 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 ching. Jack's got a problem. But he's stressing because I got a problem. Yeah, he felt really silly. After I said, I've got a problem. You're getting ready to make some more money today. Otherwise, you'd have just done your adjustments and you'd have went off with the same amount of money. Ain't God good? I said, so where are we going to start? You know what he told me? He said, I called the city and the guy down at the city. I said, did he come out and look at it? No, but I called the guy at the city. You need a bigger meter. I said, well, how much is a meter? $1,500. So I left. I said, I'm going to go down to the city and I'll talk to him. And I left and I called my builder. I said, Don, we got a problem. I don't have enough pressure. You think I need a meter? He said, nope. Every house in your addition has the same size meter. And there's sprinklers down the street, so I know you don't need a bigger meter. Listen, you better ask the right questions. So I called the plumber that put in the plumbing. I said, do I need a bigger meter? The plumber said, no. Which side of the pressure valve is your line hooked up? I said, it's on the side near the house. He said, that could be the problem. So I said, can you talk to John the Baptist? What? I go back to John and I said, John, you almost cost me $1,500. I said, I would have really been hacked at you if I'd have put in a $1,500 meter and poor John's just sweating. I said, you know what it is? It's either the pressure valve or you're on the wrong side. He dug it up. We looked at the pressure valve. The pressure valve was broken. He went and got like a $20, $30 pressure valve and fixed it. Asked the right questions. And I looked on his little ticket and he had charged me $10 to go get it and put it on. I said, you're going to charge me $10 to go get a part and put it on? That's all you're worth? Well, I can charge you more. I said, okay then, put another 30 on there. Is that about what you're worth? He said, that's about what I'm worth. Listen, and I gave extra to John the Baptist because I have it right now and he needs it. And somebody that you have extra, they're going to need it and you better give it when God sends them or he won't bless you anymore. Close with this little, I thought this was so good, showing gratitude for Christ's sake. Remember who you worked for. Joshua never forgot who he worked for. He didn't work for the doubters that he led. He didn't work for them. He worked for God that said, I can have that land. And he said, someday we're going to get rid of the doubters and we're going over to the land. He never forgot who he worked for. Don't ever forget who you work for. If you do, you'll be afraid. It says, author and educator Howard Hendricks sat in a plane delayed for takeoff. After a long wait. How many's ever been on a plane in a long wait? And by the way, if they're having trouble, wouldn't you rather wait than go ahead and take off? Just a thought. After a long wait, the passengers became more and more irritated. Hendricks noticed how gracious one of the flight attendants was as she spoke with them. After the plane finally took off, he told the flight attendant how amazed he was at her poise and self-control and said he wanted to write a letter of recommendation or commendation for her to the airline. The stewardess replied that she didn't work for the airline company, but she worked for Jesus Christ. She said that just before going to work, she and her husband prayed together that she would be a good representative of Christ. Wow. That's a Joshua. That's a hero. Doesn't matter. She's got on a flight attendant suit, but she's a Joshua. Because while everybody else is griping and complaining and grumbling, she's serving God. She's becoming a servant to those that need to be served. She's becoming a light and a beacon to those that are irritated. It says, doing it for Christ's sake and not for a paycheck adds another dimension to submission. You serve not just to please your employer, her husband, or parent, but the Lord because of your love and gratitude for Him. Don't forget who you work for. Don't forget who you work for. Father, thank You for our graduates. We just give You praise for them, and we honor them today because of all of the work and effort they put in to come to this point. Now, Father, I ask that You would help them to just seek Your face, and as they take time to seek Your face, lay out the path. It sounds like You already have, but just make it clear. Make it clear for our graduates. Help them to identify their calling and their gifts and their part, whatever that is. Just give them the ability and the anointing to know what their part is and to recognize that and to really hone their skills and follow their calling. It's the place where life is. And it's the place where they can be most effective and reach their full potential, where they can be prosperous and successful as an individual for the glory of God. And so I ask You to open their ears and eyes to hear and to see and to know their part. In Jesus' name. And by the way, Lord, bless all the families that's helped them and the friends and husbands and wives, whoever has helped them to have the time, given them the time and the resources to get to this. Bless them as well, because it takes a village. So bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen.